all around the U.S., and we saw a Major League Baseball game in every Major League park. So that was the goal, to see a game in actually every park, which it was a little bit about baseball. Mostly it was about being together and just kind of making memories. So we got to do lots of cool stuff, lots of fun hikes and things like that, and lots of really, really cool stuff. That's a whole another talk. But we were at 29, so there's 30 parks, and we're just about to complete the quest. And so we were going to St. Louis. If you've ever seen a game there, it's great. Sit behind home plate because you can see the arches there. I think one arch.
Maybe you can see McDonald's also. There's just one arch.
That's so funny. This single arch. You can see where my mind is. Yes. Okay. So the single arch. And so it was like the end of a quest, you know, together with my family, and I'm a dad, and we'd figured all this out, and I think about all the problem solving that we had to sync up calendars, not just with our kids, but with MLB, and it just so much. And so it's finally coming to a culmination, and we go, and we're watching the game. The weather's perfect. They put our name up on the sign, and it's late, and so when we get done, and we have to drive back to Dallas, and so we finish the game, we go out, it's high fives, they get in the car, and they're like, that was fun, and they all fall asleep, and I drive from St. Louis to Dallas, and I'm the only one that's awake, and I hadn't thought about it previously. I definitely didn't tell them anything. And I don't know if this was reasonable, but my expectation was that they're going to get in the car, you know, and kind of go, yeah, who are we, you know, among all children to be born to you, Father? You know, other kids have such boring lives, and you sacrificed and found a way to take us all 30 ball games. It was just such a joy, a pleasure. It's an honor to be in your family. They went to sleep, and I drove to Dallas all by myself. And I thought, you know, I remember just kind of having to work it through it. And I had a long time to work through it. And I thought, you know, I don't think they did anything wrong. I really don't. But I definitely had an expectation that was not met in that situation. Probably because I had so long to work it through, I was good by the time I got to Dallas. But it's a pretty good illustration of what happens in marriage. I did this. I thought you were going to respond this way. I thought we had agreed on whether you'd said it or not. That is expectations. And so what happens is expectations that aren't met, they start kind of with disappointment, and then they lead to sadness. And if they continue unchecked, they lead to anger and resentment, which is a lot of times what happens when you think about couples getting twisted at year two and seven. Year two is... you realize, or you wonder, they're not exactly who I thought they were. I was dating their PR department, not them. Okay, that's all right, because I can fix them. I can fix them, that's okay. And then year seven, you realize, oh shoot, I can't, right? And that's where some of the sadness, anger, disappointment comes in. And that's pretty normal in relationships. You just kind of have to work through it. But all that, that whole category is expectations. And if not dealt with, they can be pretty deadly. And if you get in front of it and you know what you're looking for, sometimes it can actually become wins in a relationship.
Yeah. So a great verse that speaks to this, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So just think about that. When you have a hope or an expectation about something and just that kind of disappointment or like sick feeling, this is not what I was hoping for, whether I realized it or not. But then when things do pan out the way you had thought and hope that they would be, just that life that can bring. And so we know just from that whether you want your hopes to be fulfilled. And so let's talk about just being wise. First of all, just knowing we have expectations, and then as we work through it, where do our expectations come from? And so this is just take the work to slow down for a minute and think about, hey, I've got something here. Where do you think that came from? So we would ask you guys, just throw out, where do expectations come from?
In marriage, yeah.
In marriage, specifically.
Yeah. Where did your expectations in marriage, we don't do this very often at Reengage, but
right.
From the
Yell
audience.
Yell it out, from the audience.
One at a time. Where do your expectations in marriage come from? Okay, let's
yes,
go.
There
we
you
got
go.
Both.
We
Parents both. And upbringing.
Correct
and
correct.
Same,
yes.
The same one. Yeah. Everyone's got those.
Yep.
Right. Everyone's got how mom cooked the roast. How we spent time together.
How we spent money.
Sure. Pam's family didn't like to put miles on their cars, so they rented cars. It's like, well, that's why you have cars. That's so stupid, you know. And it was just it was an expectations thing. One of my favorites was I was in grad school, and I was kind of walking. I'd walk back to our room, and I noticed a box in the hallway. I didn't think much of it. And then there was two boxes, and then, like, over time, three boxes, four boxes, five boxes in the hallway. And I was like, babe, what in the world? Like, you know, she's not a pack rat, and she's not messy. I'm like, why are these boxes here in the hallway? And she said, well, I'm waiting for you to put them up in the attic. And I was like, me? And she goes, yeah, totally. Like, that's what you do, you know? And I was like, what are you talking about, woman? And then I remembered, and we laughed when we thought about it. Pam's family, I've never seen one before or since, but it was like normal ladders go up to the attic. They've got like two kind of things. This one was like multi-story or something. It was crazy. And the closing was really small. So you kind of had to be like a contortionist to get up there and take, it was a perilous, you know, endeavor. And so if they wanted, this is awesome. When they wanted something up in the attic, they would just put it right there. And Pam's dad, you know, would get up there and, you know, I don't know if you belay in and he would come down. And if you wanted something from the attic, you would ask him and he would go get it. In my family, if you wanted something in the attic, you went and got it, you know, and then when you're done, you better put it back. And so it wasn't right or wrong. It was just kind of this family of origin expectation. We've all got those. And so we could anchor and say, that's right, that's wrong. Or we could just be aware and then we could talk it through. So
although
good.
We do know when you put fitted sheets on the bed, it's diagonal. Anybody with me? It's across, not the same
it's
end.
Not. You start
corner
the,
to corner. Thank you. That is right.
You start at the end and you work to the front.
Yeah. But, okay. Anyway.
And then when you've been married a really long time, you don't care. If you just get the sheets on the bed.
Yeah, that's right.
When you have little kids.
That's where we are now.
We have clean sheets on the bed.
Yeah,
high five.
Totally.
Okay, great.
All right.
Where else? So that's family of origin.
Where else?
Where do our expectations of marriage come from?
Movies,
TV.
Yep, media. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we know it. Like, we know we could tell ourselves, someone doesn't fall in love in, you know, in the span of 2 hours and live happily ever after. We see it on the movies. We know it's crazy, and we get frustrated and disappointed when our marriage or our dating or our dates don't look like that.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it just is in our brain, whether we know it's real or not, but that does affect kind of our expectations for what we want things to look like.
Good. Yep. What else?
Nationality.
So you've got different cultures, and you can actually statistically prove that out.
Yep.
So you take an Italian family, and you measure lots of different things. You measure, like, closeness, right? You know, and they're like, man, it's all in. Everybody, every generation, anyone that's still alive that has a family name, they sit at the table, right? And then the way they communicate, and it's loud, and you would, if you're from Japan, you're pretty sure like a fist fight is about to break out at any moment. You know, when you think about kind of that, when you think about the dynamics that are going on, and these people are having a great time. They love grandma and the meal, you know, and Japanese people are like, you're about to slit each other's throats. You know, and Americans would say, hey, you guys are you're enmeshed. You got a problem. You're way too enmeshed. And Italians would go, man, you guys don't love each other. You're really, really selfish. You better believe that can be a thing. You can prove that out statistically. So anything else that forms our expectations?
Church yeah.
Can?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any
well,
thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think specifically like you come here. I thought about this even today as I was thinking about this. If you've been here enough to hear someone, a few times to hear someone share their testimony or their story from stage, like, hey, if my marriage isn't fixed in how long was their testimony? 10 minutes. If my marriage isn't fixed in 10 minutes, something's wrong with us. Like, if we don't interact the way they do, if we don't interact the way, if you come, you know, here anywhere on Sunday mornings and the way you perceive the pastor and his family act, then something's wrong with your marriage if you don't look exactly like them. And you kind of have it made up in your mind. You don't know what it looks like at home, but you kind of have this picture of what you think. And so you compare it to, you know, good marriages, good relationships, but you just have a snapshot and you don't fully get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Social media is a big one. We know
for
that,
sure.
You know, but like no one posts on social media, right? Hey, I put on 10 pounds and feel terrible. Ask me how, right? No one does that. You know, little Timmy struck out the bottom of the ninth, the bases loaded. You know, he's devastated. No one does that, right? Or we were going to go out, have a great night, but instead we got in a fight and we watched Netflix from two different homes or from two different rooms. Like, no one does that, right? Everything's amazing. Awesome. Love of my life. You know, hashtag winning, hashtag hot wife, you know, all that kind of that's all. And we go, well, that's not me. I don't feel that way. And it's something wrong, okay? So it's just good. We can talk on and on. Pornography a lot of times will impact the way we think about sexuality in our marriage. And it's just helpful to know, right? Where did this come from? Before we decide, is it right or wrong? It's helpful to know, where does that come from? And very rarely, as Pam said, it doesn't come from actually from Scripture. A lot of times it's not like we're reading the book of Romans and go, man, I've got an idea, right? We're taking it from other places. So before we even get going on how to handle expectations, well, I think it's a really, really good question to ask. Where do these expectations come from?
Exactly. Yeah. But let's talk about it. So we've established we have expectations. Everybody does. We kind of just think about where they come from, and then how do we handle them? And so the first one would be just to be aware. Just to be aware that we have expectations. When you're unaware, I mean, you've all been there, right? And so you come to something and you're frustrated and you're like, wait, what am I even frustrated? What am I being angry about? And if you just stop and roll it back, I had an expectation. I didn't even know. I'm frustrated. I'm mad because you didn't do this. I wasn't even aware. Hadn't even communicated it for sure. And so just being aware is really the first step.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to know, what are my expectations, especially when you're triggered, when they are not met. Number two, you want to be reasonable. Okay. So can my spouse even do the thing that I think they should? Right? And so I'll get this one like from women a lot of times about all around like the whole spiritual leadership. And the person they're describing, you know, would be some kind of mix of like, you know, Billy Graham, a seminary professor, and a Jesuit monk, you know, and they're going like, he's not like that. I'm like, he's not, you know, no one is. And guys, some of the expectations we have for women, you know, it's like, I want her to be a supermodel and have a cooking show and build, you know, build orphanages and loves to hunt and fish, you know? And I'll just tell you, I'm looking at this room. If that woman existed, she would not marry you, okay? And so, like, you just, it's amazing some of the things that we build up and we ask of our spouse. And it is just such a great question to go, is that even reasonable? I mean, really, it might be a desire, it might be something that I want, but is that even reasonable? Because a lot of times we're holding our spouses or situations to standards that they just really, really couldn't meet. So you want to ask, okay, are they reasonable?
I don't know if it's reasonable. I know you want to go home tonight and sit on the couch and just talk for 3 hours. I don't know if that's reasonable.
I will agree with that. Yep.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah, great.
All right, the last one, just to be aware, make sure they're reasonable. And then to be clear, so even maybe they're aware, you're aware of them. It's reasonable, but you haven't even communicated it. Your spouse cannot read your mind. I know we think that we're married to mind readers, but they can't. And so just to communicate that, and we'd say just be careful. Communicating desires can be good, but making demands is not. And so, babe, you don't have to do this, but if you're asking, and I believe that he wants to know, hey, this is what I would prefer tonight. I'm going to communicate this desire to you. I think it's reasonable. This is what I would like to happen. And same from your spouse. And so speaking those desires, not in a demanding way, but in a way that, hey, I'd appreciate this. I'm not going to, you know, be wrecked if it doesn't work, but this is what I prefer.
Yeah, so just being clear, it's amazing if you just talk it out how much you can head off at the pass.
Yep.
And, you know, this isn't a talk about sex, but I remember before our honeymoon, I asked Pam, I was just trying to be a good husband, and I said, hey, tell me about your expectations. I use that word for you know, our first night together. We'll come home. We'll get married. We'll go to you know, kind of the hotel thing. Tell me your expectations. She goes, this is so funny. She goes, well, what I'd love to do is come in, and then we could have dinner together, and we can talk about the wedding and all that for a long time. And then I would like go get showered up, and you can get showered up, and then we can have sex. You know. And I thought, well, that's pretty much the exact opposite of the order that I had in mind. But that's good. Like, we can deal with that, you know. But what would have happened, I guarantee you, it would have been like, what? Like, I would have been sitting there tapping my foot going, what? Let's do this. Like, why are we here? And just by saying it out loud, All right, talking it through. Is this reasonable, right? Am I aware of them? You can head all this off of the past. And then I would just say, lastly, is just to be open to the counsel of others. And sometimes we will need others to say, you know what, I think probably the most loving path forward for both of you is this. And so we always want to look to God's word. We want to pray. We want to show honor and deference and serve our spouse. And then sometimes we just go, I wonder what some other people that love us and love God would tell us. So you want to make sure that you are open to the counsel of others, okay? So unfortunately, we will be disappointed. Our expectations won't be always met in marriage. It's a great verse. It's the only promise about marriage that I know of in the scriptures. It's 1 Corinthians 7:28, and it says, those who marry will have trouble. Okay? It's the only promise that I know. Paul's saying, hey, guys, it's going to be hard. It's going to be great, but you should know it's going to be hard. And so how do you handle those? What do you do when your expectations aren't met? And because there's times they will not be met. And like Pam said, you can share your desires, you just can't make sure they are demands. And I think a lot of times expectations will surface what we'd call idols in our heart, things that are just ultimate, that are even above God. And we know that we've triggered one of those things when we get really, really angry, or when we're so disappointed or sad that we're just wrecked, right? We're wrecked. We can be disappointed, but we can't be wrecked. And the best way I know to kind of handle the disappointments, the ups and downs of life and of marriage is to make God ultimate, not your marriage, not your spouse. So you can be disappointed when your spouse doesn't do the things that you want to do, you expected him to do, but you don't have to be wrecked. And so a verse Pam and I think a lot about, we talk about it a lot. One of our kids told us recently, this is the first thing they say in the morning when they wake up. Psalm 73, 25 through 26. The psalmist says, who have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Basically, there's nothing else that I want on this earth other than God. And the thing that will make me full more than anything else, the portion that I have, is God. So when my spouse meets or exceeds all my expectations, I can enjoy it and see it as a good gift from God. And if they don't, or marriage isn't going the way that I want, my kids aren't doing what they want, job doesn't work the way, friends doesn't work the way, I don't have to be wrecked because God is ultimate in my life. And I can see and have great satisfaction in him. Okay? So anything else?
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good outline for expectations. Be aware, right? Be reasonable, be clear, and be open to the counsel of others. And when it doesn't go well, Psalm 73, 25, and 26.
Yeah.
Do you want to pray for our friends?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, Lord, thank you that you are so good and loving, that you deserve to have that place of preeminence that's above everything else. And so I do just pray for every couple and every individual in here, just Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to you, that you would just help them see their need for you to be that most important thing and that just holds everything else in place. I'm thankful that you know every person and couple in here and exactly what's going on. You love them. You are merciful to them. You look on them with compassion and just those things, just love and mercy. And so we do just pray for every couple, wherever they're at, just that they would be filled with the knowledge of that you love us. You're crazy about each of us. So thank you, Lord, just for the wisdom that you give through your Spirit, through your word, and through other people, and just for this amazing place to come share that with other people at Reengage. In Jesus' name, amen.